one verse of scripture before you're seated. We'll read some more as we go along here. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. My subject is the God of High Noon. The God of High Noon. You may be seated. James tells us, I just read it twice, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. What James is letting us know when he uses the term Father of lights is that all light originates with God. And he goes on and tells us that with God there is no variableness, neither is there any shadow of turning. Now you may be scratching your head wondering what all that means. You and I would probably not use this phraseology if we would have written this verse, but James was not living in 2016, and he was not writing as we would write today. So we must understand that in ancient times, light and shadows, they meant a different thing. They had much more significance than they do with us today. When it gets dark today, you will just turn on your electricity if you paid your bill. And you can have light all night if you want to, or until you get ready to turn it off. But it wasn't so in James's day. After dark then, you pretty much had to wait until the next day to continue on with whatever it was that you were doing at the time. After dark, they couldn't tell what time it was because they used the sun to help them determine the time of day. They didn't have clocks that glowed in the dark. They didn't have watches that you could look at to tell you what time it was at 2 o'clock in the morning. The best timepiece that they had was the ancient sundial, which basically consisted of a stick sticking up in the ground. And they'd look at that stick, and by the shadow that the sun would cast upon it, they could tell approximately what time that it was. And at every hour except one, the sun always cast a shadow. But at high noon, there was no shadow. So maybe we have a little clearer picture and understanding of what James is really trying to say to us here. He is saying that with God, there is no shadow of turning. That with Him, there is no time difference. It's always the same time on God's watch. You're starting to get it. At noontime, the sun is at its zenith. It is at its apex. It is at its highest. It never gets any higher. But with our God, it's always noontime. With our God, it's always at His highest. There is never a time with our God when He is any less than He is at His best. So it doesn't matter what time your watch says. It doesn't matter what time your calendar says. It doesn't matter what time the doctor says it is. It doesn't matter what time the situation says it is. You may be at the darkest hour that you've ever faced in your life, but you're serving a God of high noon. You're serving a God who never varies. You're serving a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. There will never be a time when God has less power. There will never be a time when God has more power. The reason being is because He's a God that has all power. He is not the great I was. Neither is he the great I shall be. He is the great I am. Whatever you need him to be, he is right now, today, on Sunday morning at 10 minutes after 9. You don't have to wait for noontime to say, well, God's finally risen. No, before you got up this morning, he was shining bright. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We need to make this book, the Bible, we need to make it more than a history book. It's also a textbook. A history book tells you what has happened. A textbook gives you the formula to reproduce what's already happened, what's already transpired. We don't have to just read a history book and say, oh, the good old days. I remember when God did this and when God did that. No, I'm preaching to you today that he hasn't changed one iota. He hasn't changed one bit. He's still just as powerful today as he was 2,000 years ago, as he was 6,000 years ago. And he'll be just as powerful if he doesn't come back 2,000 years from now. Now, we can't say that. We get tired, we get old, we get feeble. We remember the good old days when we didn't hurt and when we had strength and when we could run fast and all of those things. But it's not so with the God I'm preaching about today. It's good to know the word of God, but we need to be doing the works of God as well. It's good to have the message, but we need to use the message to minister. It's good to have enticing words of men's wisdom, I guess, but it's more important to have the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I'm not just interested in hearing some preacher get up and philosophize and tell me what all he thinks and try to just flower everything up real good. I want somebody to stand up and tell me what thus saith the Lord. I want to see the power of the Lord in demonstration. I don't want to just go to church to have my ears tickled and to feel good about myself. I want to go to church and see God. I want to go to church and see the manifestation of God. I want to go to church and know that God is in the house and God is working and God is moving. I know we live in a pampered society where some folks only want pretty sermons to make them feel good. They're scared to death if the Spirit starts moving. Scared to death if God shows up. I get all tight and nervous. I'll just stay home till y'all get over that fit. I'll just stay home till y'all settle down. The move of God moves on. You better be careful about resting when there's a move of God. If God's moving, you better get in the vein of the Spirit. If God's moving, you better get in the river. We sang about that last week. If God's moving, you better move with it. If there's a battle raging, you need to be involved in the battle. Amen. If there's a move of God, you need to move with the move of God and make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. It's high noon. It's time to be involved in the work of God, in the kingdom of God, in what God is doing. If God is doing it, everything's going to be all right. Luke 22:53 says, when I was daily with you in the temple, Jesus speaking, you stretch forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is the devil's hour in a lot of people's life. The power of darkness is doing its best to doom souls to hell and for all eternity. But it's no time for the church to be laid back. It's no time for the church to be at ease. It's no time for the church to be lukewarm. It's time for the church to be involved and engaged in the battle against the enemy of our souls and against the souls of men and women that we know. You get in trouble if you're not engaged in the battle. 2 Samuel 4, 5 through 7 says, and the son of Rimmon, the Beerothite, and Rechab and Benaiah went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed, when? At noon.
And they came thither into the midst of the house as though they would have fetched wheat, and they smote him under the fifth rib. And Rechab and Benaiah his brother escaped, for when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him and slew him and beheaded him and took his head and get them away through the plain all night. Now, you might not be familiar with this story, but Ishbosheth was one of Saul's sons, and while the battle was raging for his father's kingdom, Ishbosheth decided that he'd rather rest than fight. And while he lay on his bed at noontime, when the battle was raging, the enemy came in and cut off his head. He died while there was a move on. What I'm telling you is high noon around here. God is moving and God is working, and it's no time to be resting. It's no time to be at ease. It's time to be engaged in the battle. It's time to let the king know whose side you're on and what battle you're willing to fight. And if the devil shows up, we'll just fight the devil tooth and toenail all the way to heaven. Amen. It's time for every one of us to arm ourselves for battle. To fight for truth, for that which is right, for that which is the will of God, to involve ourselves in the affairs of God. And if we'll do that, great things will happen. Great wonders we will behold. Psalms 37:6 says, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. When God shows up, when God shines the light on, something good is going to happen. There's going to be something worth seeing. Amen. You remember the performance that took place on Mount Carmel between Elijah and all the false prophets? Let's pick that story up in 1 Kings chapter 18. Brianna. It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Isn't that something? Back that back up. Back that back up to that first verse that you just had up there. 17, I think it was. It came to pass when Ahab and saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Here was this old wicked king accusing the man of God of causing trouble. Elijah wasn't causing trouble. They wasn't in trouble because of the man of God. They was in trouble because of the wicked king. He was in trouble because of his sin and the things that was going on in his life that he didn't like, that he wasn't pleasing God with. So the man of God said, okay, the windows of the heaven's going to be shut up. The water's going to be turned off. There's not going to be any rain here for 3 years. See how you like that? And now he's blaming him for turning the water off. No, the water got turned off because you wouldn't shut up, because you wouldn't repent, because you wouldn't confess your sin. And now you're blaming me for causing the trouble. I ain't causing the trouble. You caused the trouble. If you had repented, the judgment of God wouldn't have came. Okay, next verse. And he answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. You know about her. I've never met anybody that named their daughter Jezebel for some reason. Don't try it. That's not a good thing. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered all the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? When are you going to decide which side of the fence you're going to be on? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it to pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods and put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon. Everybody say noon. Elijah mocked them. And he said, cry aloud, for he is a God, sarcastically. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. Now, I want to point out before I go on here, notice what time it was when Elijah began to mock them. It was noontime. The reason why, because they were worshipers of Baal, the sun god. And here they are at noon, the prime time for their God to answer them, yet they're not getting any answers because they're really not serving the true sun God. Their God wasn't a God at all. But can I tell you, we are serving the sun God. We are serving the one true God. We are serving the God of high noon. And so Elijah began to mock them, and he said, well, maybe your sun God is talking to somebody else, or maybe he's on a journey or a vacation, or peradventure he's falling asleep, and you just need to holler a little bit louder and wake him up. I mean, he's pouring it on, folks. Why could he do this? Why could he act like that? Because he knew something that they didn't know. He knew they wasn't serving the true God that could answer by fire. He knew it didn't matter how loud they hollered, how high they jumped, how many wounds they gave themselves. It wasn't going to change anything because fire was not going to fall from heaven because they were a bunch of false prophets serving a false God. And so he joked about their God being asleep. Why? Because he knew he served a God that never sleeps and he never slumbers. He's always awake. He's awake at midnight just like he is at 6 o'clock in the morning, just like he is at noontime, and just like he is at 6 o'clock in the evening. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. His ears not heavy. His arms not short. Woo! It doesn't matter to the God of high noon what time it is. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, the sun god, the noon god, Baal didn't show up. And they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid him on the wood, and he said, fill 4 barrels with water. Now remember, this is the drought going on. 3 years it hadn't rained. Where they got the water, I don't know. It took some effort, I promise you. And this was a precious commodity. And he said, I don't just want you to sprinkle a little bit on it. I don't want you to pour a tea pitcher on it. I want you to go get 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice. I don't want there to be any doubt. I don't want you to think it just got too hot outside and this fire ignited itself. I want 4 barrels of water put on the wood. Next verse. And he said, do it the second time. 4 more barrels of water. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. 12 barrels of water had been poured on this sacrifice till the water ran about the altar and it filled the trench also with water. So not only was the sacrifice saturated with water, but the wood was saturated with water. The rocks were saturated with water. It filled up the whole trench all around it. It was all just covered in water. And it came to pass at the time of the offer of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. One more. Verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And that's the same Lord that I'm preaching about here today. That's the same God that I'm preaching about here today. He's the God of high noon. In Him there is no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's the God of what time?
High noon.
High noon. What time is it? High noon. It's high noon. It's not really, but it is. We don't have to wait for it to get high noon before God can show up and show out. He can do it right now, just like He can 3 hours from now. On the way to pray for Jairus' daughter, there was a servant that ran to where Jairus and Jesus was, and he said, "Hey, Jairus, you can stop now. Don't trouble the master any longer. Thy daughter is dead. It's over." It would have worked maybe if you'd have got here in time, but you got here too late and she's already died. She's dead. It's over. You might as well forget it and go home. And Jesus said, "Be not afraid. I'm the God of high noon." He didn't really say that part, but he did say, "Be not afraid." And he did say, "Only believe." Do not be afraid, Jairus, only believe. He wanted Jairus to understand, and he wanted the other people to understand that it didn't matter what the circumstances were. It didn't matter that she had been sick. It didn't matter that she had now breathed her last breath. It didn't matter that she was now dead. It didn't matter that her body was now cold. It didn't matter that life was past. Why? Because the God of high noon was there. Jesus Christ Himself was there, and time meant nothing, because where Jesus is, there is life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Acts 20 and 13 says, "At midday, O king," Paul talking, "I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." Now, I don't know of any light that's brighter than the brightness of the noonday sun. That's about as bright as I know that there is. But Paul said, "I looked up and I saw a light that was brighter than the noonday sun." What could that be? Well, Genesis 1 and 3 said, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But verse 14 of Genesis 1 is when God created the sun. So the King James says, "Let there be light," but the Hebrew lexicon says, "Let me be seen." So we're able to understand a little better. When Paul looked up, he didn't just see the brightness of the noonday sun. He saw a light that was brighter than that. God said, "Hey, Paul, let me be seen. Why don't you look up here? I got something to show you, buddy." Acts 22:6 says, "And it come to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me." And you know what? That same light that shone down on Paul on the Damascus Road, it is shining in Alamogordo today. The same light, the same light, the same God is still alive and well. And when Saul saw the light, he became blind. And you know what? There's some of us, we need to be blinded to some things in this world today. There's junk all around us. Everywhere you look in the world that we live in, there's all kinds of sinful things and stuff going on. But we need to have the blinders on to the things that are not of God and to the sin of this world. And as long as we can keep our eyes on Him, as long as we can keep our ear attuned to Him, as long as we can stay sensitive to the voice of God, then it really doesn't matter what somebody else says or what somebody else does. I got my eyes on the God of high noon, and everything's going to be all right. Sometimes blindness can be a blessing. He was blind, and the word of God spoke to him and told him where to go, to a street called Straight, to where a man of God could pray for him. And his light filled his vision again, and Paul was never the same again. And on May the 14th, 1972, that same light shined down on me. And I was gloriously filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And oh, what a night that was, almost 44 years ago. And that night, that light is still shining bright today. And I'm not worried about it ever going out. Because I serve the God of high noon, the God that changes not, the light that was come from the Father of lights. And so I can still get excited about that. And not only about that, I can get excited about some other things as well. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's what happened to me 44 years ago. This is what's going to happen to me maybe before this service is over. I don't know. But if it does, it'll be all right. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, as some of you, shall rise first. That was a joke. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can anybody get excited about the rapture? Can anybody get excited about the coming of the Lord? Can anybody get excited that someday, it don't matter where you are, you might be at church, you might be at the dinner table, you might be on the job, but the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the cloud and forever be with the Lord. Oh, if that don't excite you, I don't know what will. Woo, yeah. And the place that we're going to be caught up to, the place we're going to go, the place we're going to live, that's a pretty special place too. Revelation 21:23 says, and the city had no need of the sun. Imagine that. Neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, we used to sing that old song, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Anybody here ever heard that song? No? Pastor Robert has. Maybe I just ought to sing it. Y'all think it's brand new. Y'all like it. Yeah, we can sing a duo. Revelation 22:5 says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Forever and ever and never. What a glorious place, folks. You want to go? Don't you want to be where Jesus is? Don't you want to be in that city where the Lamb? I'd have the worship team sing it, but they don't know it. I didn't think about it till just now. They can come prepare whatever they have prepared as you stand. Thank God for the light. Thank God for the light. Aren't you thankful for the light? As they're coming, one last passage of Scripture, Isaiah 60:20 says, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy noon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thy everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning, M-O-U-R, shall be ended. One of these days, the days of your mourning, the days of your sorrow, the days of your grief are going to be ended.
Thank you, Lord.
They're going to be over. They're going to be gone. They're going to be a thing of the past. And there's going to be an everlasting light that will never withdraw itself. A sun that will never go down. Thank God for the light. If you're here this morning and there's some darkness in your life. If you're here today and you're troubled. If you're here today, there's some situations that you would like the God of light to shine on. As they begin to sing this song together this morning,
You can come forward for prayer if you would like, and let the God of lights manifest himself to you again here today. He's a God of light. He's a God of light. God bless you as you come. Prayer team, come. Anybody would like prayer, if you'd like a prayer team to pray with you, if you just like to kneel and pray by yourself, that's fine. Whatever you want, whatever you need, God's here to help you. God's here to minister to you. He's here to shine light in your darkness.